My turn to speak today. Now, I have to apologize because my speech is stressed this morning, so I apologize for that. But who here is on Facebook? I recently got on Facebook. And when you're on Facebook, you get all kinds of junk from all kinds of people. And about a week ago, I got a message, not directed to me, but I picked up a message that some guy had posted on Facebook. The guy I used to work with. And let me just read it to you. So we're talking about Paul. We're talking this month, we're talking about the distinctiveness of the Apostle Paul.
Back off.
You want to come up here and preach this message? No, I'm getting all that stuff. Don't cut to the chase just yet. This is a guy, I'll tell you, this is a guy who I respect. We had a very good working relationship, and I think it was mutual respect. We had agreed to disagree, but to all my Christian friends, ditch, ignore the writings of Paul. Just read what Jesus said in the Gospels, in the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, and see if your perspective shifts. Wow, come on, really? I'm perplexed, I'm still perplexed at that, why somebody would want to ditch Paul. Is that what we're going to do in a ditch? Ditch Paul and his writings. Go with, so, Tracy kind of gave a hint. This guy, I think he's a Messianic Jew. So, what does that mean? So, here's here's a supporter of Israel. I have to admit I am. And why is that? So, in politics, right, it's the only country over there in the Middle East that supports freedom. They're our ally. Why is that? I had to think about that. Why do I support Israel? I suppose deep down there's a connection there. You know, I know that Israel is God's chosen nation. I suppose that's why. Yeah, because today I don't know any Jews in Israel. I don't have a connection there. Eddie and I did some work on a project for the Jews. David Sling Weapon says DSW. It's for David Sling. That's David Goliath. Anyhow, we made a rocket motor system for him. I was kind of proud of that. I had worked on that. Part of the Iron Dome. But today, in the dispensation of grace, Israel is just another country on the map. They're not God's chosen nation. But I suppose deep down I know that one day it will be God's chosen nation again. We know that. I'm studying Paul, what he taught us, Romans 11. So, when I think about it, the Jews today, you know, what do they believe? This is not a lesson on Judaism. I really don't know much about it at all. But I know this. The true Jew uses the Old Testament. They do not believe. They believe in the Old Covenant. They do not believe in the New Covenant. The true Jew does not believe in Jesus Christ. Therefore, they would easily say, ditch Paul. But anyway, this friend of mine, Russ, started scrolling through his Facebook page. Talked about seeking truth and finding that in the Torah. So what's the Torah? The Torah is nothing more than the... If you look at it if you get on the internet and you look up Torah, Torah is the oral and written law. You find that in the, certainly you find it in the book of Exodus, but the Jews call it the Torah. Anybody know what we would mainstream Christianity would call that today? Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. It's often referred to as mainstream Christianity as the Pentateuch. Pentateuch meaning five. The T-E-U-C-H. It's a Greek translation. So Torah would be like the Hebrew version. Pentateuch is the Greek version. Penta meaning five, and Tuch meaning a book or bookcase. So, interesting fact, but. So that's where the Jews, Orthodox Jews, follow the Old Testament. They follow the Torah. They call the Old Testament the Tanakh. And Jehovah God they call Yahweh, and several other. Many other names that we're not familiar with. So they take their doctrine from the Old Testament and do not believe in the New Testament. The Jews' relationship with God under Judaism is a covenant relationship. We know that from studying. So, ultimately, deep down, the difference is that they don't believe the Bible. So it's hard to refute. If you just simply took your Old Testament, cut your Bible, what have threw away, you ditched the New Testament. It'd be difficult to prove that there's more than just the Old Testament that to prove Jesus. Now we know from verses like Genesis 3:15 and many more that Jesus Christ was prophesied in the Old Testament, but without the New Testament, without the writings of Paul, it'd be difficult to go back and say, here, see, this is what this means in the Old Testament. So why? So anyway, on Facebook, there was a series of chats back and forth. One guy asked this fella, why why limit your information if you're seeking truth? Why limit your information? Then the reply was, why not then take the Book of Mormon? The point of that is we have to accept the Bible by faith. And with you, just be like saying, I don't believe in God. I'm a Hindu, I'm a Buddhist. So, but if you get on the internet and do a search about Christianity versus Judaism, it'll say that Christianity was derived from Judaism. And I don't quite agree. Christians, obviously, Christ himself was a Jew. So from that standpoint, we could say that Christianity, the background for Christianity was from the Jews, but I wouldn't go as far as to say that Christianity itself is derived from Judaism, because they're far different. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 19, verse 6. I said that the Jews' relationship with God was a covenant type relationship. And I'm just going to cite two verses here. I think we're all familiar with these verses. Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 and 6. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So verse 5, we see this. It talks about a covenant, which if you read on in the next several chapters, you find out what the law, the Mosaic law, what the covenant was that they were to follow. But in verse 5, you see the two words that help us identify that this is this type of covenant relationship. If and then, now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure. Verse 6 says, and you shall be to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Now, Tracy, steal my thunder there. This fellow, as far as I know, is a Messianic Jew. So what does that mean? So there are Orthodox Jews or traditional Jews that do not believe in Jesus Christ. But then there's also Messianic Jews that do believe in Jesus Christ and do believe that he was Messiah, but would not participate, they would ditch Paul. I sat next to one of these guys, I think it was years ago. I had to sit next to a Messianic Jew on the way back from Denver. It was like an early morning flight, and they served breakfast. And he was praying as we took off, praying as we landed. And they served us eggs and sausage. And at some point in the flight, I leaned over and said, are you going to eat that? Because he ate everything around and he wouldn't touch the sausage. And I said, you're not going to eat that, are you? So I did. It gave us an opportunity to talk about scripture a little bit, but he was set in his way. So anyhow, the Messianic Jew believes that Jesus is the Messiah, then he's someday going to return. A traditional Jew does not believe in Jesus Christ, does not believe he's Messiah, but they're still looking for that Messiah, that Jesus Christ did not fit the bill. There's also another sect out there that believes that they believe in Jesus Christ, but don't believe he's Messiah, do not believe he's Messiah, but they do believe he's in some capacity fulfilled Scripture, that he himself is not. So, in all three, the traditional Jewish faith, the last one mentioned, they don't believe that Jesus Christ, matter of fact, all three do not believe that Jesus Christ is equal with God. They believe that Jehovah God ultimately is the Savior. So that, now, I'll be honest with you, I don't know a whole lot much more than that about Judaism, so I'll just tell you that. Second Chronicles 7:14. Most all of us are familiar with this. Verse 14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Covenant theology, if then relationship, that's the relationship that the Jews had with God. Now, just a minute ago we were talking about Messiah, which ones believe that Jesus was Messiah, which ones don't. So for us that believe in the New Testament, believe in the New Covenant, and hold that dear, turn with me to John, the book of John, chapter 4, verse 24, God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, it's talking about a woman, we're talking about a woman that met Jesus at the well. So the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Since Jesus Christ is telling the woman that he is the Messiah. So for years and years and years, when I was a little boy, I used to think that Jesus, his last name was Christ. Joe Tittle. And this verse helped me to understand that Jesus' last name is not Christ, but that Christ means Messiah. So Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Now, if you're a traditional Jew, you don't take this verse. You don't believe it anyway, because you don't believe the New Testament. So that'd be a hard sell to try and convince a traditional Jew that Jesus is Messiah, because John 4:25 says so, but he doesn't believe it at all. Turn with me to Genesis. So, we read here earlier in the scripture reading, we read that in Romans chapter 4, it talked about Abraham and circumcision and uncircumcision. They got pretty wordy there. Romans chapter 4. I told you to go to Genesis 12, but I'm going to go back to Romans chapter 4 for just a minute. Verse 8 says, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." Verse 9, "Cometh this blessedness upon the circumcision only?" Of course, we know that the circumcision is a reference to Israel, and the uncircumcision is a reference to the Gentiles. "Cometh this blessedness upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision?" Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. What does this mean, this circumcision, uncircumcision? Verse 11, "And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised." When Abraham was circumcised, which was a symbol, he did that when he was uncircumcised. Doesn't take too much to figure out that that has to be the sequence, right? "That he might be the father of them all that believe, that they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith where father Abraham." So the point is, Abraham believed God when he, God, well, we're going to read here in a minute. We'll go back to the account of Genesis about when that covenant was made between God and Abraham about circumcision. So Abraham believed God, and he was circumcised, and he believed him through faith before he was circumcised. Sorry, that's a little confusing. Verse 13, "For the promise that he should be the heir of the world," we're going to talk about that too, "but it was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void." Hold on. God had promised Abraham that he would inherit the earth. We'll see that in a minute too. And the promise was made to Abraham and his seed. Well, Abraham had Isaac, and Isaac had Jacob. Right there was Jacob's name. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Hence the children of Israel. They're Jews. So Abraham, his seed was going to inherit the earth. It was Jews, right? "For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith." What's that mean? "For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made in effect." Well, he just promised him he was going to inherit the world. "Because the law worketh wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be short to all the seed," not just to Abraham's seed according to the law. The seed according to the law is the Jews. Not to that.